maybe you should wait till I speak, but that's very nice of you to receive us that way. You can be seated. Part of you are. You do what you want here, or what is it? Is it always this hot in Austin? It's great to be here, but man, turn the heat down a little bit. No, we're so happy to be here and to see what's going on in this church. We rented office space from Jim and Pam for years. And when I first moved to Tulsa in 1990, I went to Victory, and this woman who was sophisticated and gracious and looked like she was running the church came up to me and said, "I'm Pam King. Welcome to Victory." And she's still saying that today, isn't she? Wow. But they just have been examples for us, friends to us, and for all those years we were in Tulsa together. And then about 4 years ago they left, and I didn't know what happened to them. And here they are. I had to come and see what church in America that God loves so much that He would send Jim and Pam King to pastor you. God must really love this church. I haven't seen why. No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing. Everybody's been so nice. Almost everybody has been really nice to us since we got here. But it's just wonderful to see how God is just doing things and pulling things together. And you're just so blessed to have such a good family here to love you and care for you. I tell you, they are so faithful. And they've got things going all over the world, as you know. But whatever God puts in their hands, they're going to take really good care of it. And it's just been a pleasure to be their friends. Back 30 years ago, when I started traveling and preaching, I was only four. And so I was a child prodigy. They knew me when I was single. And so they've been with us through many, many very important times in our lives. And we are so thankful for that. And I just was missing them so bad. I called Jim the other day. I said, I just miss you. I just want to talk to you. And he said, "Well, come preach for us." I said, "No, I don't want to do that. I've heard things about you." No, I said, "Okay, we'll do it." And it has been a joy to be here. It has just been a pure joy. We were able to catch up last night, and then to see all your smiling faces, hear about your projects going on. You're building a new building. How's that happen? That's awesome. And it's just exciting, isn't it? Not every church is growing and moving like this one, I can tell you. I see churches all the time, and so to be a part of something that's moving, growing like this is a true blessing. Amen. Are you glad to be in church today? Amen. Why don't you stand up, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into the Word, and I got a lot of special things for you. I know there's two services. Is this the more spiritual group, or was that the first service? They did not say that about you, but I'll take your word for it. And I've got some things to share with you that I didn't share with them, and I think you're going to like it. Are you ready for the Word? Yes. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Speak to our hearts today. Lead us and guide us into the truths you have for us. I thank you, Father, that you give me utterance in the Holy Ghost, that I would say what you want me to say, and give us ears to hear, not be forgetful hearers, but to be doers of the Word, and see fruit born in our lives because of what happens right here, right now, today. We give you the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. And I'm going to take you right to Mark chapter 4 and get into this message. My reason for talking about Mark 4 and to give you an overview, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus talked about the Word of God and how important the Word is and how the Word works, primarily comparing the Word of God to seed. And we'll get into that more as we go. But the reason I want to reemphasize this message is because I believe that the church today, the world today, is sadly lacking when it comes to God's Word. And I was looking, talking to some preachers, and they said, you know, the average church member today goes to church twice a month. Well, can I say that's just not enough word? And many of us, as I scan the crowd, maybe many of us went through the charismatic renewal. If you go back 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when we went to church three times a week on a slow week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Then we'd have special meetings, and then we'd go visit seminars and camp meetings, and we read the Bible, we read books. Anybody have cassette tapes and used them? If you don't know what that is, Google it. But it was a thing, and we had cassette tapes, and we'd listen to the Word, and we'd watch Christian television. We got full of the Word of God. And when you compare that to today, where the average church member goes twice a month, I believe we're dealing with symptoms in our world today that are simply a lack of God's Word. God's Word will do for you what nothing else will do. There is no substitute for it, and there's no way around it. But if you will put the Word of God into your life, it will do what it does. You'll see the benefit. You'll feel the benefit. You'll live the benefit. So I've encouraged people. I've got an internet TV program that come on every day, twice a day, and I'm encouraging people, put the Word of God on your devices. We got all these crazy devices that we didn't have before. Put the Word on it. You can do that. You can get the Bible. You can have podcasts. You can have streaming. You can have all kinds of ways that you supplement God's Word and go to church. They're building a brand new church for you to assemble in. Make sure you go to church and get the Word and get excited about the Word again. I feel like a cheerleader, but it's important that, you know, we don't have a new message. We don't have anything new and revolutionary. We've already got the message. We've got the Word, and that's what works. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. Let's just go back to the things that really make a difference in life. And I'm going to say it again, there is no substitute for the Word of God. Determination won't do it, just your motivation, my heart's good, yeah, but you still need the Word. Yeah, but God knows I'm busy. Well, you still need the Word. That'd be like saying, you know, doctor, I don't feel so good, I'm weak, I'm listless, I don't seem to have much energy, I don't know what's wrong with me. Well, have you been eating? Oh, no, I don't have time for that. Well, you need to eat. Well, I already did that. I ate 15 years ago. I know what eating's all about. I've got a life to live. Yeah, well, you're going to have to eat if you want to do what you're supposed to do in life. And the same is true with God's Word. You can't just go on what you used to know. It's a constant feeding. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a constant flow and a constant diet of God's Word. And it does for you what nothing else will do. Oh my, I could go on and on. I think I will. You know, if you take an egg, it's as old as, you know, I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg, but let's assume they both appeared about the same time. And it's ancient. And how can you take an egg and make it relevant to modern life? Haven't we developed beyond that now? I mean, don't we have computers and wireless networks? And how can eggs, old-fashioned eggs, really mean anything today? Well, they don't if you put it out on the table or put it in a refrigerator. But when you eat the egg, suddenly it becomes very relevant, doesn't it? It becomes part of you. It becomes part of what you're doing. And the Word is like that. The Word, it was written, I know, 2,000 years ago, and much of it much longer, but it's relevant today. Not like a fortune cookie. You don't open the Bible and get your fortune told, and that's what people like. But it's like food. You put it in, and there's life in the Word. There's energy in the Word. There are nutrients in the Word of God that when you put it in, it gets in you. It makes you wiser. In fact, the Bible says if you meditate in His Word day and night, you'll make your way prosperous and have good success. When you eat an egg, you have more energy. When you eat the Word, you become successful. So how does that work? I don't know. I don't know what an egg does to make life better, but I do know that it works. How many of you are getting hungry? I know that it works when you put it in, and when you put the Word in, even though it may not apply to your specific situation, it may not tell you a stranger is going to meet you today and offer you a job. Take it. If you're looking for that in the Bible, you won't find it, but you'll find words that will nourish you and build you up and change you and cause wisdom to arise out of your spirit into your mind. How many of you could say amen to that?
Amen.
It's amazing because we already have it. It's like a famous, it's like one of those drinks that they promote all over TV. You drink this, you'll feel better, you'll look better, your hair won't get gray, and I doubt it does all that, but the Word does. And you've already got the Bible. Get in the Word. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go to Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed what you hear, for with the same measure you use, it'll be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given." I just love that phrase. To you who hear, more will be given. Do you need more? Aren't you glad I didn't say to you who spend more, more will be given. To you who earn more, more will be given. To you who work more, more will be given. In the kingdom of God, these things are free. Jesus paid for them. And to receive more, you just need to hear more. It didn't say you need to beg more. It didn't say you need to want more. It didn't say you need to wait longer. It just said you need to hear more. That's good news. We can all hear more. You're hearing all day long now. You know, we're so wired and so connected. We hear stuff. We get information from the time we get out of bed till the time we go to bed at night. And some of you, I can walk in my door and tell Alexa to tell me the weather. Turn on the radio. Turn on Christian music. I could tell her to turn on country music, but I would never tell her that. I'm kidding. But what we must do is to work the Word into our daily diet, into our daily routine, because you need to hear more in order to receive more. He went on to say, "For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Like it or not, the kingdom of God was designed to work with seeds. And the seeds that God uses are his words. The way the kingdom, think about this, the way the kingdom of God is transmitted from person to person, from nation to nation, from generation to generation, is through words. How shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are those who preach the gospel? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel? The blessings of God are available to the whole world, but they come to us through the seed of God's word. That's how the kingdom is set up to work. To try and work it a different way is to circumvent God's method. This is an ingenious way to do things. When I came to Austin today, I didn't have to say, "I wonder how much salvation I'm going to need to bring for those folks," and pack it and then check it in on American Airlines. What's in the box? Salvation. For 65 souls, just in case. I didn't have to do that. I don't have to bring salvation. I just bring the seed. I can take this seed anywhere in the world and preach it. And if they can interpret it into their language, those people can believe what you believed and they can have what you have. Same salvation. It can be transmitted all over the world through the word. Psalm 107:20 says he sent his word and healed them. Healing comes the same way. So I thought healing came through the healing evangelist. Nope. Healing comes through the word. The Bible says we were born again by the incorruptible what? Seed of God's word. Born again by the word. You know what that means? Think about this. You could have a person that needs salvation come forward and we could pray over them and anoint them with oil and we could spit on them and shake them and we could cry over them and we could laugh over them and none of that would save them. We could beg God to save them and we could beg, the people to pray and everybody pull together. We want to get this person saved. Or a little child could come and say, "If you'll believe on Jesus, he died for your sins. Confess him as Lord. You can be saved." And they can be saved just like that. Just a simple word from God is all it takes. But without that word, nothing happens. Isn't that interesting? This is how the kingdom works. To you who hear, more will be given. Do you need more? You need to hear more. You don't have to earn more, do more, just hear more. And as you hear, the seed is sown and watered, fertilized, and it does bring forth the harvest, does it not? And that's what the whole chapter, Mark chapter 4, is all about. The sower sows the word, and when it goes into good ground, it produces. The farmer sows a seed. He goes to bed at night. He gets up in the morning, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. He doesn't even know how it works, but it does. He said, and then it comes forth, first the blade, and then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear, and then comes the harvest. It does happen. It is a process, and it's just as sure as sowing a natural seed. Isn't that great? You need the word of God in your life. Let me give you another scripture here along these lines. 2 Peter 1:4 says, by which are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. How many of you have ever heard some exceeding great and precious promises? You probably have heard them in church. That through these, everybody say through these, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruptions in the world through lust. So you become a partaker of the divine nature. How? Through these promises. If you take the promises away, then you take the blessing away. They come together. Are you getting this? Now, I want to let it sink in. These are principles that we know, but we can get so distracted and so focused on the wrong thing. We can start thinking, even us charismatic people can start thinking, you know, so-and-so got blessed, so-and-so got delivered because I guess God loved him. I guess it was just time. No, if somebody receives something from God, it's because they believed a promise from God. If you brought two people in here that both needed salvation, and I preached a salvation message, and one of them got saved and the other didn't, it's not a matter of God choosing one over the other. It's simply a matter of what they did with the word of God. It's as simple as that. It's not rocket science. If you plant a seed, you get a harvest. If you don't plant a seed, you don't get a harvest. You say, but I need a harvest. But I want a harvest. Nobody needs it more than me. Well, if you didn't plant, you won't get the harvest. So it takes the mystery out of it. In other words, well, why did somebody get blessed and somebody not? Because they responded to the word. There's no favorites in the kingdom of God. Everybody's available to everything is available to everybody after what Jesus did. But each person literally gets as much as they believe for, or as many promises as they want to believe. They can receive that from God. So the enemy wants to put barriers up, block you from getting the word. One of the ways he does that is try to get you mad at the preacher. Now, I know preachers aren't perfect, but listen, if you think preachers are your problem, you're deceived. They make mistakes, but they're not your problem. It's easy to get mad at the preacher. That's the easiest thing in the world, but that will cut you off from God's primary method of sowing the word in your life. Don't fall for that trick. If you hadn't been hurt by Christians or preachers, you hadn't lived long. That's just part of the program, man. I've been going so long now, you know. I've been really serving God, running after God for 40 years. And people share things with you and they think it's going to shock you. And you go, oh yeah, I've had that happen 3 times. That's just part of it. That's no big deal. Are we that big of babies that we can't stand any opposition? Do we expect the whole world to just stand and applaud because we got out of bed in the morning? Haven't we grown past that? Don't get angry with other Christians or preachers and allow the enemy to cut off God's word getting into your life. You ought to be the most eager person in the church when you come. Listen, if you'll come to church, that's what he's saying here. With the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. If you come to church thinking, I'm going to get something from God today, you'll get something from God. You want your pastor to be anointed? Get in there and believe that he's going to give you a word from heaven and believe that it's going to change your life. And I guarantee you, he will. I've seen so many different, you know, I've preached the same message in different places, and boy, is that an experience. Some places you preach and they ooh and on, they fall on their, and they go, wow, that's amazing. And you're thinking, nah, it's probably not that good because last week it didn't go over at all. I've been in some places. You ever seen those major league pitchers? You know, there's nobody more spoiled than a major league pitcher. They stand up there and the catcher's giving them all these signs and they're going, nah. I mean, they couldn't look more unconcerned, could they? I mean, they don't even try. They could smile, you know. Yeah, that nice, but no. But no, it's just like, mm-mm. So give them another sign and mm-mm. And they look like, you know, I'm bored with you. I'm bored with this game. I want my $1 million and I want to go home. Whatever. And then another sign, he goes, well, don't get too enthusiastic about it. I've been in churches like that. Man, it's like you give them your best shot and they go, nah. All right, how about this one? Nah. And then you really hit a high note and they're like, You know what God can do in a place like that? Not much. Not much. And it's not because the message don't work or the word's no good or the anointing's not there. It's just the way people choose to receive it. Now, I have to say, and I've said this morning, I told them in the back, this church is very easy to preach in. So you're blessed. I'm preaching to the choir, but it's true. It is true. I've been to some places, pastor picked you up at the airport and he's like, it's going to be so good. We're so glad you're here. God's going to do things. It's going to be a great time. And you know what? He's right. Every single time they say that, it happens. I went to one church one time and the pastor had dark circles under his eyes. He goes, I'm so glad you're here. I said, why? He said, we hadn't had the anointing on our platform for 6 weeks. I thought, well, this is your lucky day. And I got up there and, man, it was like preaching to Nazis. I mean, it was dead. I did not move the needle, you know what I'm saying? There's only so much the preacher can do. It's up to the hearer. You know, when he talks about the sower sowing the word in Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the word. The rest of the story is about the ground. And 3 out of 4 types of ground didn't get anything out of it. So it's really up to you. And you don't have to have anybody else's cooperation. You can get your life changed by this message, whether anybody else gets anything or not. You decide if you're good ground or not. You make that decision by yourself. And if you go to church thinking, I am going to get something from God, you will. I'm convinced that when the church comes with that attitude, the preacher, whoever it is, can't help but preach things by the Holy Ghost. And if you could see it in the Spirit, I've said things already this morning that I didn't plan to say, but it's like a word for this one and a word for that one and a word for that one and a word for that one. And if you understand what's happening, you'll grab that word, hold on to it, and let that word produce in your life, because the seed grows up and it bears fruit. We don't know how, but it works. This is God's method. That's why in church, somebody's up here behind a pulpit and you sit in a seat. You ever wonder why we do that? We do it because the work's already done. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to win the war. Jesus did all that. All we got to do is find out about it. It's better to do that in a sitting position. Am I right? And then God calls people to preach, so we stand up here and talk for an hour. And other people that see that, they think, what do y'all do down there at the church? Is it just a place for weak people to come and get is it a crutch for weak-minded people? No, we get the word of God. And the greatest changes in our lives have come from things we've heard in a place just like this, at a time like this. Don't let it underwhelm you. There's nothing that's exciting about sowing a seed, but the results are life-changing. Did you know the whole world as we know it is here because of seeds? Interesting, isn't it? God didn't give the world a lifetime supply of vegetables. He didn't just say, okay, here's all the corn you're ever going to need, all the grain you're ever going to need, all the carrots, it's all over here, so when you need it, just... He didn't do that. He gave us seeds. And he said, you take these seeds and you can decide how much you want. If you want carrots, you got to plant carrot seeds. You say, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart, but he's only going to multiply carrots if that's what you plant. Well, God knows what I need. Well, yeah, he knows what you need, but he's going to give you what you plant. Because that's how the, read Mark 4, that's how the kingdom works. So if you need something, find it in the word in seed form. The Bible is God's blessings in seed form. Anything in there can be planted in your heart and produce a harvest in your life. It can change your life forever. Are y'all getting this? I told you this was an easy place to preach. I'm going to do this and then I'm going to tell you a personal story. My wife, she's a good baker. She makes good pies. And if we could, now we're not going to do this, so don't get your hopes up, but we could have, maybe we should try it. She could bake a bunch of pies and we could have what I would call an apple pie altar call. How many of you would consider responding to an apple pie altar call? You know what? Some of you guys, you wouldn't respond to anything, but you'd respond to an apple pie altar call. So let's just pretend that we did that at the end of the service. We had everybody bow their head, close their eyes, be reverent, nobody looking around. And if you would like to receive free of charge a homemade hot baked apple pie, please raise your hand right now. It would go up. And then everybody look up here. All of you who raised your hand, please come forward. We're going to have an apple pie altar call right now, right here. And you lined up across the front, and we gave each one of you an apple pie. Wouldn't you be blessed? You'd take that apple pie home, and you'd eat it. You might not share it. Shame on you. But you'd eat it, and you'd love it, because they're good. And then I come back next year, because I'm the apple pie evangelist. And I preach my sermon, and I have another altar call. And I say, now, if you need apples, in fact, I'm going to expand our coverage. We're on the apple pies, apple sauce, apple butter, apple fritters, rare apples, cooked apples, raw apples, any kind of apples. Raise your hand, and you came forward, and we did the same thing. And instead of giving you an apple pie, if I gave you a bag of apple seeds, you might be a little let down, wouldn't you? You might be tempted to say, you mean I waited all this time? I wasted my time for this? However, the truth is, if you do what's possible with those apple seeds, you could have all the apple pie that you'll ever want for the rest of your life. Now, if all you ever get is an apple pie from me, you've got to wait for me to get your next one, because when you eat it, it's gone. God doesn't always give us the blessing fully manifested. In many cases, and especially if you grow and mature in the things of God, he's going to give you the word, the seed. And if you understand the power of the seed, you can take that seed and plant it, and you can go into business for yourself. You don't need an evangelist. You don't need a guest. You don't need the pastor. You simply sow the seed and see the harvest in your own life. I believe that's God's best. That does not happen, no matter how busy we are. If we don't take time to sow the word in our lives, we're not going to get the benefit the way God intended it. And if you don't understand the system, then you can be getting exactly what you need and not recognize it. Like, I don't want to hear a salvation message. I just want to be saved, okay? You can't separate the two. How many of you could take more time to put God's word in your heart? It's so important to take the time and feed on it, read it yourself, come to church and hear the word. When I grew up Methodist. And Methodist people, if you don't know, we were nice folks. Now, we didn't know anything, so which was a blessing because we didn't argue with anybody. We didn't know what to argue. I didn't know bad theology from good theology. So we were just nice. We knew the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers. That was us. And so but we snuck over, my dad and I, to a Baptist church one time. And a Baptist evangelist was preaching. Now, they should have rated this, you know, R for violence. It was at least PG-13. And as a little Methodist boy, I was not prepared for what I heard in that service. He preached hellfire and brimstone. He scared the life out of me. I was so scared I didn't go to the altar because I was too scared. But I took these vivid images home with me. And the one thing that remained in my thinking was, I don't want to go to hell. And oh, did I want to be saved. I just wanted to be saved. I didn't know how to get saved. I knew we couldn't find out how in our church. Now, our church was nice, but I'd seen people venture to the altar. And when they did, the pastor would shake their hand and send them back to their seat, pretty much. Literally, shake their hand. And I thought, I need more than that. So I'm not going to take that journey. I'm embarrassed to do it anyway, but I guarantee you a handshake's not going to keep me out of the fires of hell. So on my quest I went, I would pray, and the evangelist told us enough to know that Jesus was coming out of the east as the lightning shines from the east to the west. So my room was on the east side of the house, and there was a window there, and I was waiting for that lightning to shine, and I was praying, God save me. Every night I'd pray, God save me. I just didn't have any knowledge to build on. And he told us the trumpet's going to sound, so I'm waiting for that trumpet, and I'm watching the window. And I'm praying, God, save me. Lord, save me. I've not been saved. I don't want to go to hell. Save me, Lord, save me. And I didn't feel anything. Didn't see anything. Well, I can remember we visited another church, a missionary Baptist church, and they had a revival meeting, and we were sitting there, my dad and I, and they had an altar call. And that time I was bold enough to go to the front. And I went forward, and I prayed and cried and had an experience with God, and I felt saved. I felt peace. They all congratulated me, and I thought, whew. I made it. And I went home, and after a few days of just living life as an 8-year-old boy, I lost it. You know what I mean? I lost. I just didn't feel saved. And the enemy's always there saying, you know, you don't feel saved, do you? I said, no. Well, you don't look saved. You don't act saved. You're going to hell. I know I'm going to hell. I don't want to go to hell. And so you know, that little children's prayer scared me. Now I lay me down to sleep. I mean, that part's okay, but I'm, you know, you're a little boy. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die, I'm not thinking about death until you pray that prayer. And it's like, you mean, wait a minute now. I could die? I could die before I wake? And then what? I pray the Lord my soul to take. Like, I'm not sure. So the way I interpreted it was, I could die and go to hell tonight. I am not going to sleep. I am not going to go to sleep. So I'm praying and asking. I remember going camping with a friend of mine. His name was Alan. He was my boyhood friend, and Alan didn't go to church. But there we are, we're looking at the stars, and if you ever wonder what 8 or 9-year-old boys talk about, this is what we talked about. He's talking about the stars. He was a geek, you know, into astronomy. And I said, Alan, I just want to know I'm saved. I just want to know I'm going to heaven. And I don't know if I'm going to heaven. There's only one thing I want in life. Is I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. Alan wasn't ready for that. But anyway, he looked at me with all the compassion a 9-year-old boy could have. And he says, Greg, now I don't know a lot about church. But he said, of all the friends I know, if any of them saved, it's got to be you. He said, I am just sure. You're going to heaven. And you know how much good that did me? None. I appreciated the sentiment. Don't get me wrong. But I just knew if I'm standing before God and he's sending me to hell, and I say, but wait, Alan said, that's not going to get you anywhere. So I go back to my routine, and I'm praying. And we went to a Nazarene church, and I went forward there, and same experience. I had an emotional experience with God, and it lasted about 3 days, and then it was gone. Back in those days, there was PTL. Y'all probably don't remember that, do you? I called PTL. You know what I told them? I don't want to go to hell. Can you help me? And they said, sure, yeah, we'll help you. And they prayed. And those salvations only lasted like a 24-hour. They didn't even last 3 days. And then I called CBN, the 700 Club. Remember that one? I called them. I did it secretly. I didn't want anybody to know, but I was embarrassed. But I wanted to go to heaven so bad. I would do anything. And I called them, and they prayed, and their salvation experience lasted about 24 hours. And then it was gone. And then I heard somebody on Christian TV say this. They said, I called out to the Lord, and I was gloriously saved. And I thought, that's it. I know I've never been gloriously saved. I need to be gloriously saved. And then he explained it. He said, I felt the power of God come on me, and I tingled all over. And it went right through my body, it hit me in the head, went right through my body and right out of my feet, and I was gloriously saved. I said, Lord, I've never been gloriously saved. I can promise you that I've never been gloriously saved. I want to be gloriously saved. If I was gloriously saved, surely I'd believe it then. And you know what? It wasn't just a few nights later. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was tingling all over my body, and I felt the power of God hit me in the head and go right, literally right through my body and right out of my feet. And I went to sleep with a smile on my face thinking, I just got gloriously saved. I'm gloriously saved. I got to go to heaven now. And did you know, by the time I woke up that morning, I'd already lost that feeling. I mean, it didn't even last 8 hours. By the time I woke up, there was no more glory, and you know, and the enemy's there saying, you're surely going to hell. You don't feel anything. That was just you. That didn't happen. You're not going to make it. Do you feel saved? No. Do you look saved? No. Do you act saved? Not all the time. You're going to hell. I know. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, Billy Graham did a crusade. And my whole family went. It was 2.5 hours away. And we went to Memphis, Tennessee. And they had it in this big stadium. And we sat in that stadium and we listened to Billy Graham preach a salvation message. Wow. You can watch those now. It's really neat to watch. But we heard him preach that salvation message. And they played that hymn, Just As I Am. And thousands of us went down to the field. Thousands of us prayed with the counselors. It was an amazing thing. My whole family, we all got up, walked down together. The counselor met us, prayed with us, gave us some material, thanked us for coming, and off we went. We got in the car to drive home, and we all felt saved. We were all smiling. There was no fighting. There was no strife. We all loved each other. And I have two sisters, my mom and dad. We all did that together. And I broke the silence by saying this. Y'all feel saved, don't you? I've been down this road before. Said, you better hope Jesus comes back in 3 days, because if he doesn't, it's all going to be gone. I've done this many times. And you know I was right. In 3 days, I'd lost it. I didn't know. If I had it, I didn't know it. And I went back to my other, you know, my routine. Well, about 2 or 3 months later, the phone rang in our home. And y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, but back then phones were on the wall. They were screwed into the wall. Can you imagine putting a phone on a wall in the kitchen? Those were the good old days, though. There were no voicemail. There was no caller ID. There were no missed calls. If somebody called you and you didn't answer, it's like it never happened. I called. Oh, well, I wasn't home. Nowadays, I called. I left a voicemail, a text, an email. You know I've been trying to reach you. But back then, I mean, you don't answer the phone. It didn't happen. I was in seventh grade. I'm walking through the kitchen and the phone rang. Never happens. Middle of the day. I answered it. And the guy on the other end said, I'm looking for Greg Fritz. I said, well, that's me. This is really a coincidence. Here I am. And he said, I see that you came to the Billy Graham crusade. And I said, yeah, I did. And he said, I see that you got saved. He said, what's it like to be saved? Aren't you glad you're saved? And I said, it's a long story. He said, really? I said, yeah, I can't be saved. For the longest I've ever been saved is 3 days. Several times a day, one time 8 hours, but never more than 3 days. He said, well, let me ask you this. He said, he located me. I thought I was a hopeless case. I thought I'm going to have to get saved right at the right moment. And then Jesus comes back and then we go to heaven. He said, if God told you you're saved, would you believe God if he told you? And I said, well, of course, I'd believe God. If God told me, if God said I'm saved, yes, I'd believe that. I've been waiting for that. I pray every night. Nothing, he's never said a word, as far as I know. He said, well, the Bible is God speaking. And the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. He said, do you believe that? I said, yeah, I believe that. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. He said, have you done that? I said, yeah, I've done it. I did it at the Missionary Baptist Church. I did it at the Nazarene Church. I did it with PTL. I did it with the 700 Club. I did it with you. He said, well, let's just do it again. I said, let's just do it. And I confessed Jesus as my Lord. And he said, and it went on to say, and you shall be saved. And the Bible's God speaking in you. If God says you're saved, you must be saved. And you know what I said? I said, say that again. And he said, the Bible says that if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, do you believe that? I said, yes, I do. Been believing that my whole life. He died for my sins and God raised him from the dead. And you confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth. Have you done that? I said, you know I have. He said, the Bible says you shall be saved. The Bible's God speaking to you. And if God says you're saved, you must be saved. And I said, I must be saved. I hung the phone up. For the next 3 days, I went around going, I must be saved. The Bible says I'm saved. I don't feel saved. I don't look saved. But I must be saved because God's word says I'm saved. And if God said it, it's true. And did you know that I have never doubted salvation from that day to this? Oh, I wanted. Yeah. I wanted a visitation. I wanted a feeling. I wanted to see something. I wanted to hear something. But a word from God came and did for me what nothing else could ever, ever do. One word from God. I've never forgotten that scripture from that day to this. And I've never, ever gone to bed at night thinking, after all that's happened today, I must be going to hell. I don't think that anymore. It's not so. Because I got the word. To those who hear, more will be given. To those who have, more will be given. In other words, when you learn how to receive from God based on his word, you can just, not only will you be able to hold on to what you have, but you can get more and more and more. Without the word, you have no confidence. The enemy can keep you neutralized, lie to you, and you won't know the difference. Or you can rise up and say, you know what? I'm going to become dependent on God and his word, and I'm not going to have any middlemen. It's just me and the Bible. I'm going to trust God for my life, and God's going to do what he said he would do for me. Hallelujah. Nobody can steal my salvation today. No amount of experiences, no feeling in the world could ever talk me out of it because I got the word. The word will settle the argument for you. Did you get anything out of that? I'll tell you, it doesn't end there. That's just where it begins. But any promise that God made is God speaking to you. You can personalize it. You can sow it into your own heart, into your own life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, this place is, it's easy to preach here. It's easy to preach. Let me tell you this. I've got a series. If you liked that teaching and you'd like to expand on it, because there's a lot in chapter 4, there's a series called What You Hear Can Change Your Life Forever. There's only a few of these left out there. These are $20. But I will give you the free download of that series. How's that deal? I'll give it to you as a free gift. There's 4 messages. They're on my website, and you can download them onto your computer and put them on your device. If you don't know how to download a series, ask your grandkids. All right. All you do is you fill out one of these. They'll have them at the table. It's a free download card. When you hand this in, they'll give you this card, and it has a code. And when you go to checkout on my website, enter the code, and you can receive this series free of charge. It's all about what you hear can change your life forever. It'll inspire you. You can listen to it over and over. You'll own it. And it will just feed your spirit and get you back to the basics where you can hear and receive. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? I've got many other free offers on my website. If you go there, it's gregfritz.org. We have a lot of videos that are free. You can stream them immediately. and you can use my stuff if you want a good supplement for your church and your personal Bible study. You can go to my website, and it's solid stuff. I don't preach a bunch of fads and wild, far-out stuff. There's plenty of wholesome truth in God's Word that will change us and help us. And we try very hard to keep it true, simple, and positive. And I think it'll be a blessing to you. So you can go to gregfritz.org. I think there's over 100. If it's not, it's close to it. 100 of the videos that you can also download as audios. And then there's other things on there as well. And study notes. I have a daily TV program on the internet, and we have study notes for all of our subjects, and they're all free. Outlines on many different subjects. But this one, I want to give this away. Who would like to have this for $500? This lady. Here, G, you do it. Oh, thank you. And then he's going to give that to somebody. Now, don't everybody rush up here at once for the... This is my new book. It's called Living with No Regrets. If you like books, this will really help you. The tagline is get ready for the future by getting over the past. And this is something God's dealt with me about, and it really works. I talk about missed opportunities, broken relationships, past failures. I talk about losing loved ones. All of these things cause regret and grief and sadness, and Jesus wants to set us free. He wants you to be happy, and you can be. So this book will really help you. These books are out there. They're 15, unless you want to combine it with a series, and we have a special price. But why don't you give that to somebody, G? And then I've got a couple more. You want me to give away a couple more? This one's called Stay Out of My Garden, and it has to do with sowing the seeds of God's Word. And this will... Come on, G. Then you can give that away. You know what? Of all the people, I love the music here and all the ushers, but I would like for G to relocate to Tulsa. I need somebody like him. He said, I said, I'm going to let you give him away so you can be the bad guy. He said, I'm used to that. If you don't get one of these free ones, it's because G didn't like you. So this one, because if it was me, I'd give it to everybody. This one's called Living With No Regrets. It's the audio series that we use for part of the book. The book's a lot more involved, but this will help you. Living With No Regrets, 4 messages, and it's on CD, and it's also downloadable. Oh, you're just taking the easy ones right on the front. Well, I was afraid of him when I came in, but he has just spoiled us. Man, what a great job. Everybody's been so nice. Why don't you stand? I'm going to just bless you, and Jim's going to come and take it from here. But I just want to thank you for being such a good, hungry, receptive audience. It makes my job so much easier. We love you guys. And appreciate what God's doing in your future. Let me pray for you. Father, bless these. I thank you for working mightily in this people. Thank you for all you're doing in this church through this ministry. Help us to put this word into action to bear fruit in our lives. And you know what? We said all this with heads bowed and eyes closed. I didn't share the story of my testimony to the first service, but I really felt like sharing it with you. And you might be here today and you're in that position. You might have heard that story and said, I'm doing that right now. I don't know if I'm. In fact, you might have thought that, you know, you can never really know for sure if you're saved till you die and you find out then. That's not true. You can know that you have eternal life. You can know that you're saved and right with God. I'm so glad of all the things that have ever happened to me, that's the most consequential experience of my life, is to know I was saved. It changes everything because it sets you up for eternity. There's nothing more important than that. If you don't have that assurance, bow your heads and close your eyes, because we really want people to take this to heart. If you don't have that assurance that you're born again, that you're saved, that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. If you were just like me and you've struggled with that and you want to know, I can help you. I know where you are. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Say, that's me. I need that prayer. I need to know. Thank you. Thank you. Are there others who say, I need to know. I don't know for sure. Thank you, sir. You know, I love it when grown men say, I want to know I'm saved. What an influencer that is. What an example that is. If you're here and you're grown and you say, I should know better, it doesn't matter how old you are. If you don't know you're born again, God wants you to have that assurance. Lift your hand and say, that's me. I want to know. I need that prayer. Lift it up. Lift it up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Look at me. If you've raised your hand, look at me. Look at me. The rest of you, keep your head bowed. Those who lifted your hand, look at me. Thank you for being honest. You don't have to live another day wondering. You can know that you know. But I want you to do one more thing. Would you do it? Would you slip out of your seat and come down here? Would you do that? Give them a hand as they come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. This just blesses me. Look at this. Look at this. Thank you. Look at this. Oh, my. Come on. Come on. Look at this. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Say, well, I didn't come, but I should have. Come on, we'll wait for you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I probably told that whole story just for you. Now, I'm not going to give you an apple pie. I hope you're not under that impression. It's going to be much better than that. I'm going to do with you what that counselor did with me, and I want you to believe what I did, because you can. All of us are capable of it. It has nothing to do with where you came from or what you've done. It only is dependent on God's word and what he said. And if God said you're saved, you must be saved. And I know we've got some material for you. They've got a lot of channels for you to go through, so I encourage you to do that. But I want to pray with you. Can we do that? I'm going to pray with you like that counselor prayed with me. It was the most defining moment of my life, as this is going to be for you. Maybe you're here and you say, well, I used to know I was saved, but I don't now. Okay, that's fine. This is for you. You may say, well, I've never truly given my heart to the Lord. Okay, this is for you. It's for whoever wants that assurance. And here's the promise. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, do you believe that? He died for your sins. And God raised him from the dead, signifying your sins are forgiven. If Jesus is alive, then he must have paid the price. If he's still dead, then he didn't pay the price. So it's important that you believe in the resurrection. Do you believe it? He's alive, isn't he? Then the second step is easy. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, and you shall be saved. Let's do that together. Let's all pray this together. Say it with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins and that God raised you from the dead. And today, I confess you as my Lord. I receive you as my Savior. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Make me new. Amen. 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 And I know this is what happens. You say, well, that was so simple, and all I did was just say something. Are you sure it worked? Yes, because God's keeping records. I walked down an aisle like this one time. About 25 years ago, I walked down an aisle, and I stood in front of a preacher and heard a little message, and I repeated after him, and you know, it was just two words, and it changed my life. And the words were, I do. And I didn't say, you think it worked? Do you think no, it worked. It's legal. It happened. How many of you said, I do to Jesus right here, right? You said it. It worked. It worked. Did you mean it? Then it worked. Romans 10:9, don't ever forget that. Now I'm going to have Pastor Jim come. He'll tell you what to do. Thank you. You made my day. Thank you. This is a sight for sore eyes, I'll tell you. Bless you. Thank you for having me.